B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Szolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
Bruins game two happening tomorrow night at the Garden. We've given away the tickets. Thank you for trying. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Also, good news coming out this morning as it relates to Matt Grizzlick. Someone texted me who is covering the team and said Grizzlick walked by the media and looked like no knee issue at all. No, am I speaking? Is this happening? Thank you. Start over. Yeah. Someone texted me who's covering the team said that in the locker room Grizzlick walked by with what looked like no knee issue at all. And then Steve Conroy, the Boston Herald, tweeted, Matt Grizzlick is walking without a limp, said he feels fine and he's ready to go. He did take a big hit, but he came out of it okay. Nice. So there you go. Encouraging.
Sweet.
Haven't heard anything yet on David Krejci. Haven't seen anything on that front yet. Have you?
No.
Okay.
Yes, Cassidy said still day-to-day, could be a game-time decision tomorrow.
Okay, but I would still take that as a...
I take that as a positive
encouraging thing because...
Yeah. Yes, encouragement, yes.
Encouraging, yes. And when he went down last night, you thought maybe...
Boom.
Maybe.
Boom.
Maybe he was going to be dealing with protocol. That's not the case. We found that out right after the game. And so, hey, we'll take it.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
Proud Peacock.
Take that! And rewind it
Take
back.
Take that and rewind it back.
Strong, they breathe through here.
617-779-0985. Jonathan in Billerica today. Jonathan, how are you? Thanks for hanging on.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Hi.
Good. So I'm just wondering, I mean, watching the draft last night, seeing how many of these wide receivers slipped out of the first round, why isn't we couldn't have waited till the second round to pick up a wide receiver? Why couldn't we have gone after someone to replace Flowers? Or even getting Smith, the tight end, out of Alabama to replace Gronk. It just seems like it was a wasted pick. I mean, there's so many other wide receivers still around.
I'm going to trust their pick. They're pretty good in the top 32 with picks. We've gone over the years, whether it's McCourty, Mankins sort of in that spot. This kid looks like he has strong hands, and they need some bigger guys on the outside. They do. Gronk is gone. The catch radius with this kid, 38-inch vertical, and from what I look at, obviously, he's not breaking away from people, but he catches the ball in his hands.
All right, so, Jonathan, just so we're clear, if you had that 32nd pick last night, who are you taking, or not even that, what position would you have targeted instead?
I think I would have gone after maybe Ferguson, the kid from Louisiana Tech, the rusher, edge rusher, or even Allen, the kid from BC. He's got some promise. But, I mean, on paper, we still have Edelman, Dorsett, Gordon, and we picked up Demaryius Thomas, right? So we got four legit wide receivers. Okay, Gordon might be out a couple games, but there's still five or six really well-talented wide receivers that are going to be going the second round. We got two picks to use.
Debo's still out there, too. You might end up grabbing him, too.
I mean, that kid from BC is not projected to go until in the third round.
Stop.
So, no. Let me just say no.
I like him, though.
Great.
They might, good pick, but not last night.
They could still get him. Do you know that no one has picked since the Patriots picked last night? Everyone that was on the board when they picked last night is still out there.
That's crazy.
Huh. Still there and still available.
That's a tidbit.
But what's not concerning, but they could have traded down.
Yeah.
The report's coming out today saying that if the Cardinals don't take a tackle with the 33rd pick, the Colts might get a haul for number 34.
Yeah.
That's the report coming out this morning.
It seems like New England could be the one that starts the run on the receivers now. That's the sweet spot, early second round.
Well, Baltimore with Hollywood Brown.
Well, but, I mean, this is the sweet spot where they say 10 guys can go in a row. So.
Well, the Patriots have the 24th and the 32nd pick in this round. They could sit and take two guys at each of those spots, or, you know, they could
package them up,
package something in the third round, move up a few spots here or there. There's moves they could be making. Moves to be made tonight. Right?
There weren't a whole lot of hell of a exciting guys. No skill position guys. Like, all the positions of people looking at for the Patriots, there's a ton of guys left.
Yeah.
I you know what? I just don't know how you look at receiver on this team and say that it's not a need or a pressing need.
It's definitely a need.
Of course it is.
Tight end, receiver, corner, and tackle.
Brandon is at work today. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
Good.
Yeah, I've been on hold for a while, but you guys are actually doing me a favor.
I'm sorry.
No, my radio broke in my car, so I'm really glad I still get to listen to you guys. But anyways, quick on the pick last night. I'm really happy with it. I think it's good that, I felt that we addressed the need. Obviously at receiver, the last caller, I know he said, we have plenty of options right now, but I wouldn't necessarily agree that they are solid. We got a couple, definites, but I like it. I like it for Brady. I think it's a big thing to make, to help make keep Brady happy. But like you said earlier, though, I think, Brady's going to have to come in and work with this kid. And
tweeted right away, Adam.
Hoping, yeah.
Excited to work with you. A lot of work to go. Let's go.
Absolutely, that. And
Real quick here, too. And I want to talk about the OTAs.
I'm putting Brandon on hold before I hang up so we can hear your comments.
I think there may be.
Broken radio thing. Don't forget, get us on your smartphone. Get the app.
Okay, obviously Gronkowski and Brady proved their point last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we just assume now, and I think everybody assumes, that he's going to miss every single session or throwing session or workout session of these OTAs, these structured team activities and workouts. And he's just going to show up for the mandatory mini camp in June.
It's been reported that, yeah.
Okay. I think there's a chance he throws up. Not throws up. I think there's a chance he shows up for the end of the OTAs when they actually have team throwing sessions. Something he did not do last year.
I thought Belichick was an all or nothing guy, though. I thought we were told last year Belichick is like, if you're not going to come to all of them, just don't come to any of them.
Well, I think if this guy wants to show up, I don't think he's going to send him home. You know what I'm saying? And with the change in the amount of receivers now, isn't it better for the team for him to be around in structured throwing sessions?
Yeah, I agree with that.
You can take Edelman to BC all you want all day. Those two ain't going to have a problem. I keep going back to the first four
take
months
to Montana.
Of the season. I keep going back to the first 4 months of the season when Sony Michel's getting hit in the shoulder, in the back of the arm, down in Jacksonville, in the feet, because he and the quarterback can't get on the same page from a timing aspect. They're just little simple flips to the backs. Does he have that problem with James White? Does he have that problem with Rex Burkhead? No. Will he have it with Brandon Bolden? No. He could throw a go route to him. That's how long he's been with him. I wouldn't be shocked if Brady's around for a couple of the end of the OTAs prior to camp. Just to squeeze it all together.
Okay, you heard it here first if it happens. Let's get to the action update. We've got a lot going on. Bruins this weekend. Celtic series starts on Sunday. And maybe the guys in the desert will have some odds on that for you. We'll get you caught up on that. We'll get to back to more of your calls here on Zolak and Bertrand on this Friday. We've got a lot happening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
I didn't know this, but I just found out. Today is National Pretzel Day.
Yes.
I have a little problem with words today. National Pretzel Day. And our friends at Eastern Standard Provisions Company brought us pretzels. Not just any old pretzel, though.
No, not the dry, crappy pretzel. It is a sort of a gourmet buttered delight with salt.
Well, you're holding up a jar of queso what appears dip. To be queso.
I could drink this. I don't even need a pretzel.
So it's from Eastern Standard Provisions. It started with their pretzels, sort of their cornerstone item.
They've been at Mr. Sid. It's at several events I've been to. That's where I remember having my first pretzel. And it is a delightful pretzel.
It really is. You can get them at esprovisions.com. And we actually have a deal for you.
Oh.
If you use the code Pretzel Day today,
it's
buy one, get one free.
Oh, BOGO.
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 And let me tell you, this is what you want to pick up with that.
You serious?
BOGO. That's what it means. You didn't know what
that's. The Get Lost Maui Onion Mustard.
Yeah. You can. The queso dip is delicious. That. Maui onion mustard, that's it.
Listen, the pretzel's great. Probably best pretzel I ever had.
You don't need anything.
The Maui onion mustard, you could put on a sandwich. Like, you could put that on anything.
You can't get this anywhere. I'll tell you that. ESprovisions.com.
Maui, maybe.
Use that code, Pretzel Day. Get yourself a great deal.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, appreciate that. Thank you very much. Eastern Standard Provisions.
Here, the intern
stopping
in there.
On in today.
Write stuff for his resume and stuff. And he said one of the cool things about being at the sports hub is you get these nice little food drops from, like,
that's for his internship. His internship paper. One of the pros.
Yeah,
free food.
What's the professor going to say when that happens? Like, they're going to read that report and say free food?
He's being honest.
The fact you're honest, and that's what you like about it. That's one of the cool things about it.
Are they going to say, what did you learn?
No, they're going to say that.
Well, they asked, what do you like? What do you like about it?
Outside of learning, what did you like?
You write what you want.
That was the section of the report.
Okay. All right. 617-779-0985. Everything on the table, including Celtics, Bruins, draft, even the Red Sox, if you have something on that front. Stratus and Linfield, go ahead.
Well, Zoe, Bertrand, I want to say Christos Anesti, as it's Easter this weekend, and my thought about the Celtics is that...
Christos Anesti! Oh,
well, Zoe's very religious, as you know.
Christos Anesti. That's for Greek. Christos Voskres is Russian.
Russian, that's
yes,
correct,
sir. Zoe.
That is correct.
Yep.
So my theory about game one is, since Giannis is Greek and he's probably thinking about Easter and the lamb he's missing out on because of the game at noon, he might be a little distracted. I mean, it's a long shot, but it's a theory of mine.
I would doubt that. Sort of the player of the year. Yeah, I mean, we played on Christmas Day. You just don't say, hey, I don't want to play ball that day because I'm so religious. You know? No, you go and you play ball. He's going to be a beast on Sunday. And to him, the Lord rose on that day. So he's going to be even a bigger beast. Unstoppable
rebel
force.
A lot of people. Yeah.
You can't cover him with 11 disciples.
But for him,
Greek Easter is a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, big deal.
A lot of lamb.
A lot of religious connotations.
Baklava.
Mm-hmm. Very religious.
You never eat, feel how heavy baklava is? Like, it's a brick.
You ever listen to somebody eating while they're speaking into a microphone?
Yeah, I've done that.
Every day.
Sebastian's in Rhode Island on the draft. Hey, Sebastian.
Hey, guys. So I know it's human nature to complain a lot, but I feel like more so with the Patriots fan base than any other team. But essentially, everyone's like, oh, why did we pick a wide receiver in the first round? We should have traded back. But before, it was like, oh, why do we trade back? We should have picked up a skill position player.
Why are people upset? I haven't sort of gathered that.
I think people are shocked. I don't think they're upset. Yeah, I don't think they're excited. I don't think they're depressed. I think they're like, wow, who's this?
No, why would you be upset with it? Are you upset with it? Why would you be upset with a pick? They picked for a need.
I'm ecstatic. I love the wide receiver. You know, 6'2", 228. He's great in the red zone. I'm excited.
Okay, this is where I think you go too far. And too many people go too far. Oh, he's great in the red zone. How do you know? You don't know that. No. You have no idea. At this point in time, I say this all the time, and Jim mocks me for it because I don't want to sit here and grade draft picks the day after they're made. Because how the hell do you know?
Well, you don't grade
them.
How
do you know if he's going to translate to NFL talent?
If you think you've seen him play enough and you can have an honest opinion about the guy, then yes. But a lot of people can't.
Here's what scares me.
I can't about this guy, but I could about some of the other receivers maybe.
Here's what scares me. His coach, Herm Edwards, talks about him, and Herm Edwards is a salesman, right? He's going to sell everybody, oh, he does this great, he's a good kid, and all this and that. He said, I'm telling you, the hardest thing for these kids at the collegiate level, when they get to the pros, coverage is different. You could sit there, and you could look, and you're going to see cover two. Two safeties high, and it's direct cover two. At the pros, they're going to disguise that. It's going to look like 1-2, and you're going to be guessing. You don't know what to run. You're not going to have a coach on the sideline telling you what to run. Like, he said, there are times we never went in huddle. most of these kids in the spread nowadays, and the NFL's doing more of it. They're going to gun, a lot of gun, but it's the read option, RPO stuff. You look over, and there's a play sheet held up, and there's a color or a picture of something or a lamb or something or a sheep, whatever, or a bear, and that's the play call.
Quah.
You don't quah.
Quah.
Quah right. Quah right. Quah left. You don't do that in the NFL. You huddle. The Patriots' offense is extremely complicated. Extremely complicated to the point of the way it's even verbalized in the huddle. You start with protection. As soon as the protection's given, those linemen shut down. They don't listen. Then comes formation. Then the play, then motion. And then snap count. He's not going to have that ability where Brady's going to hold his hand every time. That will go right by him. And if you do that three times, what happens? Brady will chew your ass out. He'll call timeout. And then he won't play anymore. So his biggest adjustment is going to have to be internalizing everything, understanding the offense to where nobody's holding my hand from the sideline telling me what to do. Herm Edwards even said, these kids don't understand even route combinations, meaning I got the clear out. And to explain it best, okay, if you have jam coverage out to the left, you got two receivers to the left, the inside guy is supposed to run an out, a down and out, and it's man-to-man. The outside guy is supposed to run a clear out, run a go route. Well, if the defender gives him an inside release, is it good for him to run inside and go up the field? No, because he's going to see the inside receiver coming right at him. He's got to understand, I've got to be able to take that guy to the sideline, get outside him, because I'm clearing out. That's not understanding, you know, what layering of route is. So if he thinks he's got that clear out, you just can't blow by a guy because he gives you inside leverage. You got to fight to get to the sideline to clear it out to allow the quarterback to throw the ball to the inside receiver who's cutting out. All that stuff's got to click, and it's got to click quickly, or the game passes you by.
That just passed me by.
Good.
Makes sense to me.
You understand what I'm saying?
No, I do, and that's why you can actually, when this draft is over, you can give it a grade. And we're not talking about what's definitively going to happen. It's just based on the needs of a team, who they selected, and what little you know about those players, then you give each team a grade. I don't know why a Beatle is so reluctant to do that. Every year, it's the one thing you won't do. You won't grade a team's...
No. You're not saying this correctly. I won't grade the players. I won't tell you that they'll be a good player or a bad player. Because it's a complete waste of time. I've already told you a number of times today that I really like the Patriots' approach for a number of reasons.
So what would you give them as a grade so far in the draft?
A+.
Okay. All right. So you will do it.
Yeah. I won't grade the player, though. No. I'm not telling you that this kid is going to be great and is going to make an impact and is going to be a great red zone target like the caller. We won't do it.
No, we don't do that. Because we don't sit around and watch tons and tons of
It's a waste of time. Neither did that guy.
And I'm not going to do
and
it.
And even if you, and this is the problem, though, Hardy. Oh, because we don't want, that's not why. Because even the guys that do watch tons of college football routinely suck at this because it's not easy.
Yeah, get it wrong.
And I don't find it interesting. It's not that, you know, guys are just bad at it. It's so incredibly hard to do. There are guys that devote their life or have a full-time job in life getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to do this, and they suck at it. They're terrible because it's just not an easy job, and some guys are better than others. But the hit rate is so low for everybody across the board that I just don't find the point in it all. I'll just wait the year or two and find out. I don't need to know today. I can sit here and talk about the team's approach, though, and say, hey, way to go, Pats. I like your approach. I think it was great. Good for you. You're trying to fix something on your team.
You know what? I have come up with one thing that I do not like about this pick. This is the major thing. It's what I would have done. And I don't know what I'm doing. To me,
and
it's
they
like,
never do what we would do.
Never. Now, forget about there's what you would do, there's what the Patriots would probably do, and then they do something else. They're bringing cherries on the first one. What would you do? Well, Tom Brady needs receivers.
A receiver or a tight end?
I would draft a wide receiver or a tight end. And guess what they did? They draft a wide receiver or a tight end.
Oh, all right.
I don't know. I don't know if you really thought this through, because I know I haven't, and that's what I said. I'm just common sensing it, or trying to.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if it worked. I'd be happy.
617-779-0985. There is something, though, about Tom Brady and OTAs, though, that now becomes more important than it was a year ago. I know that there were new guys a year ago, but those were guys that you still had questions about whether or not they would actually catch on, right? Yeah. There's no question about whether or not this guy is going to catch on. He's here. First-round receiver, first-round pick, going to be here for a few years at a minimum. That's a guy you've got to integrate. You've got to get on the same page as your quarterback.
That's a guy that's going to help you beat time.
The need for Brady to be in passing camp this year is much more than it was a year ago.
I agree.
It's not about free agent guys who are trying to make the squad. This guy's making the team. Hardy has headlines. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub, Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Here's Johansson. They'll flip it out to center ice, glove by Heine. One on two. Carries it over the line. Near circle, Johansson fires, deflect, and they score!
Bruins get a big win last night, come back after going up 1-0. They go down 2-1, two goals in a matter of 13 seconds. First goal was off a Charlie Coyle turnover. Coyle ends up getting two goals in the win, including the one in overtime, on just a marvelous pass from Johansson. Talk about a trade deadline that benefited the Bruins.
Yeah.
Don Sweeney, big night for Don Sweeney last night. Round of applause.
Thank you, everybody. It was real critical at the trade deadline to me. I thought I made some good moves there to help the team. Bruce has done a really nice job coaching his kids up. Making fit in integral parts, and everybody's working together to make them work. So.
Gonna ride my horse.
617-779-0985. Mark and Medford on the Bruins win last night. Go ahead, Mark.
What's up, guys?
Hey, what's up, Mark?
Hey.
Well, who would have ever thought that a fourth-line player like Sean Corrali would be so valuable to this team? When he's on the ice, things open up and things happen. And that knee-on-knee hit last night, I was actually nervous that that kid was not coming back and we were totally screwed. But he came back, looked a little slow, but then picked it up after. I mean, he's on the ice for the shorthanded goal by Achari. He's on that 2-on-1. That gives Achari all that space to make that shot. Corrali's not there. Possibly Bobrovsky makes that save. But if not for Bobrovsky, we're not even thinking about overtime last night. That guy stood on his head.
Yeah, he was great. He was great, especially early. And I came out of that first period thinking to myself, my God, the Bruins could be up 5-0 right now. It was just shot after shot and opportunity after opportunity. And I don't think that Columbus had an answer for them early. They really didn't. They had no answers. Bobrovsky kept them in that game, and he nearly stole them a game. He nearly did, which is why that win to me is just so important. Hardy, you were mentally prepared for the Bruins to lose the game.
I was. I had, like, you know, it all set in my head. I was like, well, you know what? They had so many chances in the first and, you know, just didn't really happen for them, but they should have had a much bigger lead, and they'll be fine in game two, and they'll even this thing up in Columbus. I was fully prepared for it because, the way the goals were scored by Columbus last night, just bang, bang like that, it was not indicative, and the score certainly was indicative of the way the game was going. I felt really good about the Bruins for most of that game. I think we all did. We thought there should have been minimum 3-0 at that point in the game, and those two goals shouldn't have mattered. Ended up being okay, but I mean, going forward, the Bruins, if they can maintain that level of assault down in the other zone and they can keep that going, it's going to speak well for them, because eventually Marchand and Pastrnak are going to find the net again. You know, Jake DeBrusk is going to, score goals in this postseason. If you can keep getting some contributions from the third and fourth line, great. But you've managed to win a game seven against the Maple Leafs and take game one of the next round in, for the most part, is certainly in the last 2-3 games without having your top goal scorers involved hardly at all. Bergeron and an empty netter and an assist here or there. Barely made contributions. They start, and the other guys feel compelled to keep going with what they've started. I'm not saying they're going to roll, but they can certainly win this series and maybe even do it in a way where they don't have to take it to a game seven and get themselves all tuckered out before they got to go face the Islanders or the Hurricanes.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't have Kevin Miller for the playoffs, too. You know, that guy's out with injury, and you're going into these series, you say you just hope that your third and fourth lines can survive, and they're doing more than that.
They're real factors.
I mean, that's the real matchups. I mean, most teams' top two lines, they pretty much negate each other. They square off. But what kind of bench you have? What kind of backups you have? What kind of energy people do you have? What kind of people you have to carry the puck? And the Bruins have proved that their third and fourth lines are a lot better than people gave them credit for at the beginning of this year.
Let's go to Greg, who's in Charlestown. What's up, Greg? How you doing?
How you doing, guys? I love the show. Kind of bummed that I missed out on the Bruins tickets, but I want to talk about day two of the draft of the pack.
All right.
There's, we know they needed, receiving help, but there's one guy I've been clamoring for since October, and he's going to be there, and he's Tyreek Hill 2.0. I mean, if you could redraft Tyreek Hill 2 years ago for the Patriots, they would have picked him.
Okay, give me the name. Who is it?
All right, who is it?
Andy Isabella.
All right. Yeah,
thanks for calling, Mr. Isabella.
Like that guy. Absolutely, Andy Isabella. You want someone who's fast? You want some wheels? You want the opposite of what the guy they drafted last night is? I like the guy they drafted last night. I like those physical bangers.
Wouldn't it be great if they get Isabella in the fourth?
He's fast. What else is he?
Awesome hands.
Oh, body catcher.
Ridiculous athlete.
A little bit of body catcher.
Invasion of the body catcher. He's a body catcher.
A little body catcher.
Is that what they're saying about him?
Body catcher.
Institutional knowledge.
Body catcher.
Is that what they're saying about him? Mm-hmm. That he's a body catcher.
Body catcher.
Says who?
Says the people. Look at his scouting report. Says it right there. It's one of the cons.
First thing
it's
I
body
said,
catcher.
I watched his workout. It's a little bit of a body catcher.
He's fast, eyeballs?
Though. Fast, though.
Eyeballs. You, get yours checked. Hey, body catcher.
Some of the guys are biased. Some of the guys
are biased. Forget it.
Oh, are you?
Never getting an honest report out of me on Andy Isabella. And terrific kid.
Yeah.
But having said all that, is he a receiver?
Yes.
Get him. Sign him up.
We'll take him.
I feel like Danny DeVito in The Rainmaker. What do we do with all these hospital patients? Sign him up. Sign them all up.
You mean this guy can't return kicks, too?
That's how I am. Can he catch a football? Sign him up. Sign him all up.
One of the guys that play with him. Try to tell me he's a 10 to 15-year player to next level.
Toughness off the charts. Yeah. Small, because Cake, he's not big. He's small.
I don't mind small.
Doesn't have the size. Tough as nails.
Speedy?
Super fast.
I like speed.
Fast and quick. Those are two different things.
Just to your
Seriously,
point, Beetle, about the
fast
draft
and quick.
About the draft analysis, all that stuff has been said about him. Remember we played this a couple months ago?
Yeah.
Great. Toughness, speed, everything. Fourth round.
Yeah.
That's the evaluation.
Whatever.
More glowing evaluation than guys that were drafted last night. But they say at the end of the sentence, it's third, fourth round.
Yeah, fourth round. Yeah.
It's bizarre.
White.
Right up the Patriots' alley. They love white receivers.
Uncomfortable.
True or false?
It's a joke.
True or false?
No, I'm uncomfortable.
True or false? I don't know what it is that motivates them to draft the white.
They were talking about
the white wideouts.
Jim, exactly right. They were talking about. Look at all these glowing evaluations.
All joking aside,
guys, white.
There is a thought among some that, and I don't think it exists anymore. I think maybe for a while it did, that there was a market inefficiency in drafting white players at skill positions.
Value,
right? That there was a value in drafting white receivers. Because they're looked at as, they're not that good. That they fall down the board. Because
it's like Billy Bean drafting fat first baseman.
Yeah,
right.
Bingo.
As long as their on-base percentage is good, he's fine with it.
And that was a sort of a gap.
Right.
That there was a gap and there was something you could exploit there by
first base,
getting
Jim?
Good value. Oh.
In a way you could...
Maybe that's why they like it. I don't know.
With Billy Bean, he called it body type. That was the metric that he ignored. You could, I suppose, factor in skin color.
Oh, he was also a maniac. He used to go on a treadmill and listen to watch the games through his little ticker because he couldn't watch it physically with his eyes, so he wouldn't.
I know,
his judgment wouldn't be off.
But
it just went by the numbers.
It was a pager. Remember that? I mean, that was before smartphones.
They called it the white box in the book, right?
Pager.
The little white box.
But that was pager that would tell him what was going on.
That was a legitimate, category body type. They would say, "Oh no, look, he's too big." So what? We're not talking about athletes. We're talking about ball players. I don't care what his body type is. Right. That doesn't matter. So that one makes sense. The other thing you're talking about, Beetle, that's a little more clandestine, unspoken. It just, you know, it stands out as something where it's like it takes somebody really looking at the numbers and trying to find the inconsistency and like, maybe this is it? I don't know. But, okay, if this player can be had for that number, and it you end up with a disproportionate number of white receivers in the process, well, we weren't trying to do that. We're just trying to get the best value on guys, and that's what we ended up with. I'd say that it's a theory that holds water.
Well, speaking of uncomfortable topics, we've got one for you, an uncomfortable moment that happened last night in ESPN's draft coverage.
Sorry. Maybe the worst one yet.
I know. Well, the segment's not over. You can put the headphones back on. You're still on the radio on the Zolak and Bertrand show.
They even put your name first.
Well, now you don't get them back.
Trey Wingo, ESPN last night, discussing a draft pick and an individual that is on video punching a woman. That individual was drafted in the first round last night. How ESPN handled it was embarrassing. You'll hear it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you could clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
With the 19th pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select Jeffrey Simmons, defensive tackle, Mississippi State.
Okay. We need to have a discussion about Jeffrey Simmons, and some of it will be uncomfortable. But I think we need to explain what is going on here.
Yikes. That was ESPN last night. That's Trey Wingo, who was anchoring their coverage. 19th overall pick. The Titans take Mississippi State's Jeffrey Simmons.
Be better.
He fell down the board of every single team. He was taken off the board of many teams, actually, for an incident that happened when he was in high school. He struck a woman who was defenseless on the ground. He punched her in the face and in the head a number of times. The video is widely available. In fact, ESPN showed the video on their draft broadcast last night, which I give them credit for. Mm-hmm. That they deserve credit for. At least you're doing what you wouldn't do in the past.
Right.
Although, for some reason, the version they played looked more blurry than the version I've seen when I watch it online. Was that just a coincidence?
No.
Because Jim showed me it for the first time the other day, and when I watched it for the first time, the video was much more clear when you brought it up on a computer in the back office than it was on ESPN last night.
They played like a little bit of a different portion of the video, too.
So at least they get some credit for playing the video. You could figure out what was going on from watching it. It's been on the internet for 3 years now. It's not new. The video's been out for a while. Mississippi State, you know, said they didn't think it was representative of his character when the video surfaced. He played there, and now the Titans are saying that they believe it was just a mistake. And that's fine, I guess. I mean, those teams deserve criticism if you're in the business of criticizing those teams. And if you're in Tennessee today and you don't like it, you should be criticizing your team. I mean, this league is full of guys like this. But anyway, the worst part, though, is when you have guys on the set on, I guess, both NFL Network and ESPN. But I was watching ESPN. And I thought the only thing more uncomfortable than having to sit here and hear about this guy getting picked by an NFL team is hearing someone try and cover up the fact or try and plead the guy's case, which is what Trey Wingo did. It's what Booger McFarland did last night. And it was awkward, and it was just embarrassing. It was embarrassing for ESPN. Let's hear it.
Jeffrey Simmons was one of the most highly recruited players coming out of high school, going to Mississippi State. And then he was involved in an incident which can only be described as, for lack of a better term, disturbing. In March of 2016, he was involved with a physical altercation in Macon, Mississippi, involving a 30-year-old woman, his mother, and his sister. He was found guilty of malicious mischief, pled no contest. Three women involved in the altercation were also charged, and he was enrolled in Mississippi State and was suspended for one game. Now, there is video of this incident, and we're going to share it with you because it's important to explain why Jeffrey Simmons is being selected where he is. We should tell you it is a little disturbing, but this was an altercation involving his sister, another woman, and his mother on another level, and Jeffrey Simmons then entered that altercation. The initial video, which we are about to show you now, shows Jeffrey Simmons' sister in a fight with that other woman. And then Jeffrey Simmons entered. And initially, when he entered, what he did was he separated his sister from the woman that she was fighting with. And then, unfortunately, it did not stop there.
Oh, you know what he should have said? Pause. And then, unfortunately, he bashed her brains in. That would be an accurate description of what you're about to see. Unfortunately, he tried to break it up, but unfortunately, it didn't end there. Just the way he's dancing around this thing is weird to begin with. You knew right away this was going to be weird.
It only goes downhill from here on out.
Yeah, it only went downhill from here. It was weird to start. It only gets worse.
Jeffrey said his emotions got the best of him. And as you see, after he separates his sister from the fight, he then lands several blows on the woman on the ground. And we need to explain in context what happened here.
Jeffrey Simmons. No, you don't, Trey. No, you don't. You don't have to do that. Your network doesn't have to do that. Nobody has to do that. There is a defenseless woman on the ground, and this very large man is pounding on her head. That requires no context. And the context is they were fighting with his mother and his sister.
He was defending the honor of a deceased family member.
Oh, my God.
What level was the grandmother on? The second level? What are you explaining? We know about the grandmother on another level. What the hell does that mean?
He was explaining away the relationship, saying the relationship was at such a level.
Oh.
That's the way I took it, was the relationship was so bad that he was somehow okay doing this.
He's doing his best to excuse the kid's actions.
No, he's going to put it into context for us.
Sounds like we need to explain in context what happened here.
Not really.
And Jeffrey Simmons says, everybody's seen the video. Everybody knows what happens. It's pretty much the same thing I've been doing since it happened. I've been honest about the situation, just laid it on the line to teams, to anyone who asked me. There's nothing to hide. It's a mistake I made back in high school. I regret it to this day. I grew from it. And it's important to explain
that
there has been a very, very long history of really awful stuff that had gone on between the woman in that fight, Jeffrey Simmons' sister, and his mother as well.
Why is that important?
No one is excused.
I don't care.
Because that allows
I don't care,
that
allows, Trey.
You don't understand, Beetle. That would allow a very large man to beat the living hell out of any woman.
Make you feel differently about the large man beating the woman who was defenseless on the ground. That being that there was a long history of fighting between this woman and his mother and his sister.
There should be producers in an ESPN truck pulling their hair out, listening to as he's attempting to explain it. It sounds like he's trying to be the defense lawyer for the player.
So he threw to Morton and Schefter, right? Morton Schefter talked about him. And then they come back to Wingo. So I think the producers did talk to him. But it kind of somehow made it worse.
Yeah,
when he came back from the Morton, you want to hear the Morton Schefter, like the after Morton
Schefter? The Morton Schefter was basically Mort reported that like 11 teams took him off the board.
No, but I'm saying the Trey Wingo coming back.
Yeah,
after
I'm filling in the blanks.
Yeah.
If you didn't see it, Mort came on and said, you know, him and Schefter sitting there, and Mort goes, from what I'm told, 11 teams took this kid off the board. They were just sort of giving you facts from the NFL, you know, scouting side.
Yeah, reporting.
They didn't get into the actual incident itself. Continue.
And the Tennessee Titans clearly were comfortable with what they saw, Trey.
All right, Mort, Adam, thanks very much. Let's just be clear about this. We're not telling anyone how to think. You see that video? You are certainly entitled to your opinions. No one here is suggesting you need to feel one way or the other about what you saw in that video. All we can tell you is what people that have worked with Jeffrey Simmons and coached with Jeffrey Simmons since that incident and what they say about him. He maintained a 4.0 GPA his first semester on campus. He had a 3.0 GPA in human development and family studies. He was a two-time member of the SEC Academic Honor Roll and has been a volunteer on campus and in the community. In fact, the current Mississippi State Athletic Director, John Cohen, said, Jeffrey has checked all the boxes. He has been the model for what you would want in a student athlete. All those things can be true, and you can still be horrified by what you saw from a very emotional reaction from an 18-year-old player.
Oh, my God. Here we go again.
He's telling you again how to think. Remember, people, you have to watch this in context because of the relationship those women had, which entitled him to do what he did. You told us at the beginning of this. You have to look at this video in context. You're telling us and teaching us how to think about it instead of just show the video and you tell me what happened. Watch the Ray Rice video. I don't need anybody to tell me anything in it.
They spent 7 minutes doing this.
And this is part of the problem that I was telling about earlier. This is a bad show.
This is bad.
The reason why they're doing this is they got to fill all this time in between the picks with something.
Nope.
So you're going to...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.